This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone,
Father, that we can come to you this morning, Lord, and we can present ourselves to you. Lord, we can humble ourselves before you, Lord, with our own ways and our own thinking. And we can submit to you, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us through your word. Not the words of man, but your words, Lord. May my words disappear and only yours remain. Because only you have the words of eternal life. And it's because of your word that we have life. Not only did you create everything through your word became flesh. Took upon my sin, our sin, and was sacrificed so that we may have life. You did not stay dead, but you rose from the dead. You overcame sin and death that we may know you are true. That what you said is true. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we shared around hearing God's voice. I'm going to continue with that. And we asked this question, why do we want to hear His voice? I want us just to think about that for a moment. Why would you want to hear God's voice? If it is the reason we want to hear God's voice because we have a desire to know Him more? Is it because we have a desire to follow Him as King? Or is it because we want Him to do for us? Why is it that we want to hear His voice? If we do not want to obey Him as King, why should He speak to us? God is not a fool. He is God, and we are not. And God has a desire to speak. As a matter of fact, He speaks continuously. But we who want to receive from Him also need to know who we are receiving from. And that is God Almighty. Eternal, the Creator, and we are the creation. We read here in John chapter 10 from verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A powerful, short verse that says so much, a great encouragement for us that God does speak, that we can hear, and that we can know Him, and we should follow Him. God speaks, we can hear, and we should follow. The central thought is not just hearing the voice of God, but knowing Him. Knowing Him, having a relationship with Him, so that we can follow Him. And so the central thought and motivation behind hearing the voice of God is to know Him and to follow Him. That was Moses' prayer. He said, "Lord, teach me your ways that I may know you." That is why I want to hear your voice. And so in 1 John 2 verse 3, we read, "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You see, God speaks all the time. The question is, do we hear? And do we truly know Him? And do we follow Him? In our pursuit in hearing God's voice, if it is not to know Him more and to follow His will, why would He speak to us anything new. Because the most important things that God wanted to say to us, that me and you need to hear, God has already said. And so in our pursuit to hear more, to hear something new, it is always out of a place of relationship and intimacy with Him. But if our motivation is not to love and to know and to follow more, why would He speak anything new to us? And yet, as we do pursue Him in a desire to know Him more, it is from this place of relationship where there is intimacy that God speaks the new. That's why Jesus also said, and He turned to the crowd, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you?" Someone once gave me some great advice. He said, if you struggle to hear God's voice, if all of a sudden heaven has gone silent and you no longer hear His voice, go back to the place of your last obedience. Go back to the thing that the Lord spoke to you last about and obey that. It was good advice. Because sometimes God speaks and we do not obey. And then we wonder why He's not speaking something else. It's because He's already spoken. It is in our pursuit of relationship with Him as God and King that He speaks to us more intimately. That's John 15 verse 14. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. The most important things God wanted to say to you and me, He has already spoken to us. And last week, we read Hebrews chapter 1 where it says, "Long ago, at many times in various ways, God spoke to our Father by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away." God has already spoken to us the most important things through His Son, and we must realize that as we live in the last day, we must take even closer, greater care to take note, to pay attention to what He has already said, lest we drift away. It is sad to see how many people want to hear God speak something new and different to what He has already spoken. Or how many people come to see me, they know what the Word of God says, but they want me to tell them something else. It's amazing. They even quote to me Scripture, what the Word says, but then they want me to reinterpret for them something else. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. There are whole church denominations that are drifting away from what God has already said. And then they try to justify it with scientific theory and society changing. The world changes all the time. And it's as if the church is trying to keep an arm's length away from the world. But in doing that, as the world keeps on changing, what does the church do that follows it an arm's length away? It changes with it. We just heard a word this morning. God does not change. The world changes. Our circumstances changes. But God does not change. If God did change, we have no certainty of salvation. We have no hope in His grace if He changes. But because he does not change, we have our salvation secure. Because what he promised and what he said is true. It's not a lie, and he will not change his mind. And so I'm fascinated how some people can hold on to the salvation, the promises of God, but everything else they want God to change. No, God does not change. The world changes. Sometimes the church tries to follow with an arm's length away. And many drift away in the process. That brings me to my next point. I want to share this morning what is not the voice of God. I thought it prudent to start with what is not the voice of God so that we will be able to discern what is the voice of God. So I started to prepare and I five things came to mind, and there are probably more, but I want to share with you five things that is not the Word of God, so that we can learn to discern, because there are so much confusion out there concerning what is the Word of God, what is the voice of God, and what is not. So here are five things that is not the voice of God. Firstly, anything that contradicts the Word of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God is not the Word of God. It's not the voice of God. If you hear a voice that says something that contradicts the Word of God, you can immediately nullify that, distinguish it from the voice of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God is not the voice of God. God does not change. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Therefore, you are not consumed. Praise God, he does not change. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow." Thank you, Lord. You are the same today. And you will be the same tomorrow. No matter what my society, my culture, or my church may say, your words remain. It does not change. And Numbers 23 verse 19 says, "God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he would change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" It gives me great confidence that God does not change. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is not the voice of God. That is a lie. And there is only one who is the father of lies. It's the devil. That's what he does. He always brings the alternative to the Word of God. Right from the beginning, did God really say that if you eat of this, you will die? Did he really mean die means die? Let me give you an alternative. That is the work of the devil. Anything that contradicts the Word of God is of the devil. The second thing that is not the voice of God is circumstance. Thank you for that word. Our circumstances change, but God does not change. The voice of God is not circumstances. The voice of God is not an open or a closed door, our modern church prayer. God, if it's your will, thank you for that, close that door. But let's do an experiment. Let me show you what is not the voice of God. Watch me. Listen carefully if you can hear the voice of God. That is not the voice of God. Circumstances is not the voice of God. Yes, God can speak through our circumstances. Yes, God can direct us through our circumstances. But that's not the voice of God. That's just circumstances. And I'm not saying that God cannot direct us through our circumstances, but I want to say very clearly that your circumstances is not the voice of God. It's two different things. And I've met so many Christians that believe God spoke to them through their circumstances just to find out that in the end it was not the will of God. It was just favorable circumstances. Or not so favorable circumstances. God can answer our prayers through circumstances, but that is not His voice. I remember how I got to the UK. You know this story, long story short, if you haven't heard it before. But on a Saturday evening, God spoke to me that we should go to England. We were meant to go for 3 weeks on a scouting mission with a bunch of other Christians to pray. And then on that evening before we left, God spoke to me. He says, I want you to go and feed the sheep. Don't leave them. So I went back to my wife and I said, I was just married for 6 months. I said, my wife, repack your bags. We are not going for 3 weeks. We're going indefinitely. And my wife repacked the bags. And we left for England and we were there for 7 years. I went there not because circumstances was favorable. I went there because God spoke to me. And then while we were there, I met so many South Africans that came over with their degrees and qualifications to find work and to start a new life. And they were so excited to be there. And after 3 months, their money ran out. They were still unemployed and they had nowhere to stay. And they would sit in my home crying, being so confused because where is God? God has so clearly spoken to them that they were to come to England and now everything is against them. And then I would ask them, how did God speak to you? And they would explain to me these amazing open doors. God made a way for them supernaturally to get a plane ticket and to be accepted by someone in the UK and to get their visa. And all the doors went open and then they went to the United Kingdom. And while they were there, all of a sudden all the doors started to close. And now they're confused. Where is God? And I realized the difference if you have a word of God when you arrive there, it doesn't matter what the circumstances is. It doesn't matter if it's favorable or not favorable. You are there because of the word of God, not because of circumstances. But you see, the modern prayer today is, God, if it's your will, open a door for me. That's a simple prayer. I can pray that once. You know, the microwave Christian, put it in 2 minutes, ping, what is it? It's finished. So I can ask God, God, if it's your will, open or close a door for me. Let circumstances dictate for me. Or I can ask God, God, speak to me. Speak to me, God. I want to hear your voice. Say to me, I must go or I must stay. That's a different prayer. Because God doesn't answer always immediately. And all of a sudden, I need to seek God diligently until I hear His voice before I make the decision. The other option is I ask God to open or close the door and I sit back and wait and watch what is going to happen. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God cannot answer our prayers through circumstances and even direct us, but circumstances is not the voice of God. The devil will have a field day with you if you allow circumstances to replace hearing the voice of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I've learned to ask God for His voice means I need to pursue Him earnestly, diligently, until He speaks to me. The third thing that is not the voice of God is peace. God does not speak peace. He speaks words. He does not speak peace. He speaks words. God can give us peace, yes. But peace is not the voice of God. It's called peace. It's not the voice of God. You will not believe how many Christians I have met that made decisions based on peace that at the end was not the will of God. And I'm not saying that you cannot make decisions based on peace or the absence of peace. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying peace is not the voice of God. And I'm not saying that God cannot direct us or answer through peace, but it's not the voice of God. Peace is not God's language. Words is God's language. This is not a book of peace. It's not a bottle of emotions. It's words spoken by a living God. Jesus did not have peace going to the cross. Imagine Jesus were to sit there in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, you know what? My soul is deeply troubled. I do not have peace about this. Let's go back to Galilee. Or Paul. Paul didn't have peace the last time he went to Jerusalem. No, God can direct us through our feelings, but God doesn't speak through feelings. He speaks through the Word, with words. God speaks with words. Of course, God can give us peace in our decisions and even direct us or warn us, but that is not the voice of God. The voice of Jesus is red letters in some Bibles. It's letters, it's words. That's the voice of God. It's words, not feelings. Here in Acts 23, we read an account of Paul on his way to Rome, being persecuted in Jerusalem, and on his way to Rome. And everywhere he went, there was great tribulation and persecution and physical torment and beatings and stonings. His life was constantly under threat. And when the dissensions became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and to bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." You see, that is the voice of God. It's words. God speaks through words, not feelings. The fourth thing that is not the voice of God is silence. Silence is not the voice of God. Let's do another experiment. I'm going to count to three, and then let's see if we hear God speak. One, two, three. It's called silence. Silence is not the voice of God. God can answer us with silence. Husbands, we know that well. Our wives sometimes answer us with silence. But silence is not the voice of God. As a matter of fact, Genesis, right in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." God has spoken from the beginning. Everything that exists came into existence because God spoke words. God did not feel light. He spoke light. And so God does not speak through silence. He sometimes answers us through silence, but He doesn't speak to us through silence. It is the Word. There's something powerful about the Word of God. You know, I don't have that scripture there, but you should know it by now. John chapter 1, from verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning. Nothing that was made without Him. Nothing that came into existence was made without Him. In the Word, in Him was life. And that life is the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. There's something powerful about the Word of God. It is the Word of God that became flesh. It's the Word of God that spoke to us through the incarnation, that gives us the words of eternal life. The fifth thing that is not the voice of God is our thoughts. Our thoughts are not the voice of God. And here I will tread lightly. But I want to say this, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. It's not the same thing. Isaiah 55 from verse 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so here I will be careful, but also very clear. God can speak to us through a still small voice that may sound like a thought, but my thoughts are my thoughts. And here we need to learn to discern between the two. I once had a conversation with a pastor that said to me, "Because he has the mind of Christ, every thought and desire he has is the thoughts of God." What a scary thought. God speaks to us in very clear ways, and we can hear His voice. But the voice of God is not one of these five. The voice of God is not something that contradicts the Word of God. The voice of God is not circumstances. The voice of God is not silence. The voice of God is not peace. And the voice of God is not my thoughts. There are more than five very clear ways that God does speak to us. As a matter of fact, He speaks very clearly to us, and He says, "My sheep can hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But these five things I will share with you next week. So you'll have to come back again. But I want to leave you with this thought. God does speak, and He speaks in words to man. God has and still speaks today. He even speaks to those who do not believe in Him. Remember Saul on the road of Damascus before his conversion? God spoke to him very clearly. It wasn't just an feeling. Yes, it's an extreme example. But I want to use that example because there God spoke very clearly to someone that did not believe in Him, that was persecuting Him. So I want to leave you with this thought. God has and still speaks today. He speaks in words to man. But if you want to hear His voice consistently, you must have a relationship with Him. If you want to hear it consistently, yes, He can speak to you in different ways. But if you want to hear His voice consistently, you must have a relationship with Him. You must have a relationship with Him as God and King and be willing to follow Him. That is where He speaks most intimately, when we follow Him. Like Jesus says, if you do what I command you, I call you my friend. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I have made everything the Father told me, I have made it known to you. That's where this intimacy lies, in us following Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm going to end off with Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul. I want to ask the ushers to hand out communion for us as we consider our motivation and our pursuit. And I want us just to take a moment while we wait for one another, just in your own heart, just to respond to what God might have spoken to you through His Spirit this morning. Just in your own heart, just speak to the Lord in your own words as we wait for one another. God, we want to thank You for speaking. If You did not speak, we would not be. Thank You, God, that You have spoken from the beginning and Your words remain for eternity. Lord, You said heaven and earth, all of creation, will disappear, but Your words will remain forever. God, thank You that You have created us differently. Lord, You've created us in Your image and likeness so that we have the capacity to hear and know You. God, grant us a desire to know You more. God, forgive us at times when you have been a genie in a bottle. That we try to rub a certain way that you will speak to us, to grant us what we desire. But help us to come to you as the living God, who saved us even though we were not worthy. Oh God, I am still not worthy. Yet you love me. I thank you for that. How can I but respond to your mercy? But to present myself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. God, help us to be obedient to what you have already said and live that out. Oh God, you've given us so much. You have said so many things, so many powerful, awesome things, so many good things. Oh Lord, I pray that you will help us to hear as you still speak to us to this day. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance everything that you have said, so that we too may have everlasting life. That starts the day we give our life to you. Not just one day, but right now. Right now we can know you. Jesus, you said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son. Lord, help us, Lord, to be hungry and thirsty for your word, and nothing but your word. That what you have spoken and that what you still say today, Lord, help us to hear you speak to us as we search for you, as we seek you. Oh, there's nothing more powerful to hear you speak to me when you speak to us personally. Oh, there's nothing that carries us, that heals us, that sustains us, that gives us courage than when you speak to us. God, let us not be satisfied with anything less. God, you spoke to your Son before the foundation of the world. Said the sacrifices of bulls and goats does not satisfy you. So we will give the word a body. So that he can become the sacrifice. The only one that satisfies you. Lord, we want to thank you for your obedience. So you became flesh, dwelt amongst us. You took upon all our sin and our guilt and our shame. And you were broken. You were sacrificed. You were slain for us. Lord, help us not to forget the cost as we eat together.
God, we want to thank you. It's you that said, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's you that said that the blood of Jesus cleanses us of every sin. We thank you, God, for what you have said, Lord, and we choose to believe. To believe you as we drink together. In Jesus' name. Thank you that only you have the words of eternal life. Oh God, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will seek your face every morning to hear you speak to us. And we are willing, Lord, we are willing to follow you. Not just because you're a good God, but because you bought us. You bought us at a price. And we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to you. And therefore, we will follow you all the days of our lives. Wherever you choose to lead us, we know the end is with you forever. And so we have this confidence. You are here this morning. You've never surrendered your life, or 100%. Or maybe you have and you've drifted away and you want to come back to him and give him your life while all the eyes are closed and everyone is praying. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If that is you, just raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am. I want to give you my life. Because I know you've given me yours. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? I give you an opportunity to surrender him now. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Father, I thank you for those who are responding to you right now. Those who are surrendering their life to you. And I want us all to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of response to the Word of God, the expression of God in such a powerful way. When He gave His life so that whoever believes in Him, whoever bows their knee, whoever surrenders their life to Him, whoever accepts Him as King, has eternal life. And if you've raised your hand, I want you to pray with us as we pray the following prayer. Father God, I thank you for loving me. Even when I was a sinner, you gave your life for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. But I thank you for speaking life through your Son. I choose to believe today and give you my life. Come into me. Come fill me. I am now yours. I will follow you all the days of my life because you're a good God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to stand. We're just going to end off with this last song and just worshiping God. Then I'll dismiss the meeting.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.